Assuming you have the layout.
Yeah. So let's take a look at a page that starts on Shin Mem Tes. Okay, Shin Mem Tes. One second. Now, of course, I got myself confused here. Oh, here it is. Okay, good. Just give me a second of all side just to get myself organized here. I must have accidentally left this on the table here. Okay, Shin Mem Tes. Okay.
Housekeeping.
Okay. So if you're with me on this, you should have Shin Mem Tes. And then Shin Nun and Shin Nun Al, correct?
Yep.
Okay, if you have those three pages, then we're ready to fly. Okay. Now we'll close the door if we can, so that'll give us a little bit more. Okay, thank you so much. So that's Shin. Just get this open up. Shin Mevav. Shin Mevav. Shin Mevav. Okay. So then we have Shin Memches. And we have Shin Mem Tes. Now this piece that we're going to look at today, Mitzvah Hashem, is an attempt to integrate a number of different comments of the Gaon, of the Vilna Gaon. Okay then? That's what we want to try to do. Now when we say a different comments of the Gaon,
to the papers that were here.
Yeah. The papers that were here were my papers, I think.
These were mine.
Oh, so
you
I'm
can
sorry.
Have them.
I don't know where your papers are then. It's a whole bilbo here.
Okay.
But let's see, maybe as I go along, I'll find. Yours were also the Sumi Adlo Yoda, was that it?
No. The one that was just printed.
The one that was just printed should be Shin Mem Tes.
That's what I have.
Okay, so we're gonna try to find your pages here. Take a look. I don't think. Wait, do me a favor. Just take the whole pile so it remains in order. Okay. I don't know. I try to make life easier for you by photocopying this, but I realize that it's almost like. I don't know. Whatever it is. It's just not. The machine is not behaving properly. Okay. Everything got mixed up. I don't know how that happened. Okay. Next. We have halacha of Ad Lo Yoda. So the Gaon has his own take here on Ad Lo Yoda. And he says the following. Now again, we're going to combine a few different statements of the Gaon. The Gaon wrote a pirush on Mishlei. He wrote a pirush on the Haggadah. He wrote a pirush on the Megillah. He wrote a pirush on Shulchan Aruch, and in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch in Simon Tov Reish Tzadi Hey, he writes the following: what does it mean, Ad Lo Yoda Bein Orer Mordechai? Right, already I'm out to Ad Lo Yoda if I said Orer Mordechai, but you didn't catch that, so I got away with it. I am very confused. I'm almost, you know, even without any alcohol, I'm only almost at that state over here. Now I realize that half my stuff is on the floor. Okay, this is really. really exciting. Okay, maybe if we put this somewhere else, there's more of a chance that it won't spill all over the place. And then I could sort of spread out here a little bit. All right. Says the Gaon, what does it mean, Bain Or Haman Bain Baruch Mordechai, Bain Nikmas Haman Ligdulas Mordechai? Okay. Now, there are various parts to this comment of the Gaon, but what I can tell you at this point, and we'll hopefully we'll be able to embellish it and enhance it as we go along, is that the miracle of Purim, and we'll see if we can extrapolate that to other miracles in Jewish history, is comprised of two different elements. One we would say is a positive element towards a tzaddik, and the other is something negative or revenge or retribution against the enemies. So Baruch Mordechai means that we're talking about the Gdulas Mordechai, says the Gaon, and Or Haman, we're talking about the Nikmas Haman, which means the Nekama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out to Haman because of his intention. Again, there's another half of the Gaon which will Belineder will come back to a little bit later, because it's sosum. Sosum means it doesn't make any sense. Okay, so now we're gonna fast forward to the Gaon in his commentary on Mishlei. Now, there's a very complicated pasuk in Mishlei in the 11th parak. It says the following: "Bitov tzadikim ta'alotz." Now, the word ta'alotz comes from alizut, which means simcha. So we're talking about the goodness that God bestows on the tzaddikim, and that brings us to a state of simcha. And then it says kiryah. Kiryah means a city. And then the last part of the pasuk says ubi'ibud rishayim, but when Hashem meets out vengeance and destruction and retribution against the rishayim, rina. Now the difference between simcha and rina is that simcha is a state of being, but it hasn't yet expressed itself externally. Meaning, we're not yet ready to sing the songs of praise. When do we get to that point? That's only after ibud rishayim. So there's a two-stage process here. And here's what the Gaon says: Ki kasher HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzil es amo Yisrael mitzareihem ha'omdim aleihem. He says, what is the process by which God saves the people of Israel? He says that it's a two-stage process, and the sequence is very critical. The first stage of the process is going to be geula, meaning God bestows goodness, compassion, protection on the people of Israel. The acharkach, and then only after that's achieved, then nokem es nikmosam mehatzorim. So the Nekama comes second, the Geula comes first. And its paradigm is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Says the Gaon, Kemo b'Mitzrayim shemitchila gal osam, so God takes us out of Egypt, v'acharkach ibeid ha-Mitzrayim b'yamsuf, and that's nokem es nikmasam. Now this sequence of Geula first and then Nekama against the Tzareim second is not only in the case of Mitzrayim, but also, he says, in the case of Haman. Again, keep in mind, this is the Gaon's Pirush on Mishlei. You know, he's not writing a commentary right now on Megillah. He says, Tchila heitiv leMordechai. First, Hashem protects Mordechai. V'achakach hipil es Haman v'tolo oso. And they destroy him. Now, it's not 100% clear what he means by heitiv leMordechai, other than the, you know, Mordechai running around on the horse. But at least at some point Mordechai is elevated to a gedula, to some position of gedula, right? Right. So we have Mordechai, and then following that we have the apollo of Haman and Toluoso ala Eitz. And you remember that Charbonah adds, when the king is so angry, he adds, a little fuel to the fire, and he says, here's the eights that he prepared for Al Mordechai to Asher Dibur Tov Al Melech. So Mordechai is already has a certain status, and Haman was preparing to kill Mordechai. So there's this process here, he says. That's the Gaon's insight here. He says the following, the Gaon. Why is this so critical? And he says that this is part of a divine plan. And the goal of that plan is that our enemies should already be witnesses to some extent to the Geula. Now, that's also part of the process. Maybe we want the enemies of Israel to be educated, so to speak, by seeing in front of their eyes how God is sparing and saving miraculously the people of Israel. He says, "Kidei shiyehu atzmo," meaning Haman himself, "roe geulas Yisrael." Or maybe in the case of the Mitzrim, the people of Israel leave Mitzrayim and they get to the Yam Suf and they cross the Yam Suf and they go on dry land. All this is a vision in front of the eyes of our adversaries in which they witness firsthand the Geula of Klal Yisrael. But then he goes on and takes it to another level, this sequence. He says it's not just that God wants the evildoers to recognize that He, God, is the Elokim b'chol ha'aretz, but more than that. He says, Kasher hu meitiv letzadikim, at this point, which is what we call stage one, we have a limited response. And Hashem is granting goodness for the tzadikim, but us, kol ha'ir samecha. That's what it says, talot kiryo, you remember? So the city is happy. And we're not yet ready for the second stage. And the second stage is called Rina. Avaladayin Eino Meraninim. We're not yet ready to break out and burst out in a song of praise. U'meshabchim LaKadosh Baruch Hu. When does that happen? And the end of the pasuk is Be'ibud Rishoyim Rina. Ach Acherka Kasher Noke Me'atzorim. Here we're going on to page Shin Nun. We can find that. So, Rabbi, this I can give you, but if you want, it's definitely an extra copy. I don't know what's coming down the line. I don't know. Oh, here we have another one, so you can. So, after you sue me for damages, I at least can compensate you, right? And he says the following: He says, "Kasher noke me'amitzrim, me'atzorim, excuse me." Hatzarim aleihem, and the enemies, us, only then, heimaranim of shavch makadosh baruch. And that's the pshat in the pasuk in Mishlei, says the Gaon, zeu betuv tzadikim talotz kirya, like it says, ha'ir shushan tzahol v'samecha, but acharkach, kasher nokeim makadosh baruch nikmasim e'oiveihem, us, then, with ibud rishoyim, it's rina. And when do we sing the song of Oz Yashe? That's only after the Mitzrayim sink down to the bottom of the sea. And that's true for both the Yam Suf and for Purim. In both cases, the ultimate Rina, which is a step beyond Simcha, that comes with the Ibud HaRishon. So the Gvuris Yitzchak here is a little bit baffled. He says, Tzarech Bir, my timer, why is it that kasher meitiv litzadikim, at that stage, there's no rina at this point. We're premature for rina and for shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to wait until HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nokeim me'atzorim aleihem. Why do we need that second stage? If you want to tell me that we need this sequence so that the Rishoyim will recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the power, is the ultimate power in the universe, that's one thing. But now you're saying that at the first stage, we're not ready, we're not capable of Rina and Shira and Shevach, we have to wait until HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nokeim Nikmasa.
They will still be dangerous.
Could be. maybe. I think he's going to say something a little bit more profound, but you're right. You know, on one level we could say, if our enemies are still extant, you know, they're still around, maybe they'll come back and once again subjugate us. So the gula is not yet complete. You know, we're not ready. It's kind of like the halacha says, you shouldn't, a woman who gave birth or anyone who got out of the hospital, you know, he shouldn't recite Birchas HaGov until he's absolutely well. You know, he's got to get back to his immune system is restored, you know. He says, Yeshlam HaPiyah Yushalmi, this is pretty impressive, Yushalmi in Arvei Pesachim, on the Pasuk, Bifroa Pros Bi Yisrael Bisnadev Am Baruchu Birchu Es Hashem. Hisnadvu Roshei Am Kishakodesh Baruchu Ose Lachem Nisim is then Tiyu Omrim Shira. So on this pasuk, which seems to indicate that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevates the Rosh Am and he makes miracles and protects them, you should recite Shira. On that, the Gemara itself in the Yerushalmi makes the following comment: Hotevun Harei Geulas Mitzrayim. In other words, we have a kasha here from Geulas Mitzrayim, the Korban Eidah. This is a super commentary on the Yerushalmi. Says kasha. The Gemara is raising the following objection: Migulas Mitzrayim v'lo amru shira el al hayam. In other words, if you're telling me that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu spares and does nisim for Bnei Yisrael, they should already be reciting shira, so why didn't they do so until after Yam Suf? Why did they wait until Yam Suf? And the Gemara answers in the Yishnal Mishniyahi. Our answer is the following: Shehi tchilas geulasa. Says the Korban Eidah that before Kriyas Yam Suf it's premature for Shira. Why? Dakati lo hoya ela aschalta de Gula. This is only the first stage of Gula. Shelo nigalu legamre at sheshaku amitzriim b'yam. Okay, now the Yerushalmi is going to ask a different question. But basically at this point we see something clear in the Yerushalmi that the... Again, we're not going now with the protection of Israel theory, which again is a good theory in itself. He's going with a different theory in the Yerushalmi that we need the ultimate geula. The ultimate geula is when our enemies are destroyed, when God meets out vengeance against our enemies. Haresha eino rim shira el yachar gemara geula. And when is the gemara geula for shira? Yesh lomar. All the good things and the miracles that tzaddikim experience, they're not ready for shira, and that's because the geula is not complete. Part of the geula itself, again we're talking about geula not as a physical entity but geula as a conceptual idea, is only acharkak shenokei me'atzorim aleihem. In other words, this nekam against the tzorim is a major integral part of geula. And the pasuk in Mishle is telling us that when is the moment for Rina, when is the moment for Shira, that's only after the geula is complete, that's only after Nekam against the Tzarim Aleihem. So only after the Mitzrim are down in the bottom of the sea, and that's the Nekam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against the Mitzrim, at that point we're ready for Shira, because now we've experienced the Gemar HaGeula. So again, Geula as a metaphysical concept is comprised of two parts. It's not just the protection and the Tov for the Tzaddikim, but it's also the Ibud HaRishoyim, the Nekam against the Tzarim Aleihem. So again, let's just summarize what we have. We have two comments of the Gaon. We had the first comment of the Gaon in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, in which he says that if you're working with a full deck, meaning you're not yet influenced by by the intoxication of Adalo Yada, then you understand that there are two elements here that we call them Aram Haman and Baruch Mordechai, but those are two major components of God's supervision of His Hashgacha. One is called the Nekam against our enemies. That's the Hapol of Haman, and the other is Gedulas Mordechai. Now we're adding a comment of the Gaon on Mishle, in which the Gaon interprets that these two parts of Geula make up a whole that has a specific sequence to it, in which the Nekama has to be postponed until after the Gedula, which means that Haman is only going to be put up on the tree after he witnesses the Gedula of Mordechai. But moreover, the entire process requires two stages until it completes itself, and each one stage without the second does not hit the grand slam. In other words, we're not yet ready for what? For Rina. We need the complete experience that's made up of both Ha'ir, Shushat Zahola V'Samecha at the G'duas HaTzadikim, plus we need the Apolas HaRishayim, and only then are we ready for Rina. And that sheds a light on the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi says that in Yetzias Mitzrayim they had to wait until the Mitzrayim went down to the bottom of the sea before they would recite Shira, because we have to achieve what's called Geula, Gemar HaGeula. And the Gemar HaGeula is only the Tovlet Tzadikim is only the first stage of Ascholas HaGeula, but the Gemar HaGeula has to be postponed until HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nokem Es Nikmosam from the Mitzrayim. Now, while I'm reading the next paragraph, which is another comment of the Gaon that he's trying to integrate here, if somebody could do me a favor and take out a siddur and open it up to the brachos that we recite on the Megillah, because I think that's going to come up very soon, if anybody happens to have access to a siddur. Anyway, now we have another comment of the Gra, and that's in his Pirish on the Haggadah. And you all remember V'ish amdala moseinu, which is a paragraph that ends with HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyadam. And the Gaon finds this verse in HaGadosh Shel Pesach a fine time, so to speak, an excuse, if you will, to analyze the description of God as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In which case the Gaon is going to divide up this description of God into two distinct parts. There's HaKadosh and there's Baruch Hu. Says the Gaon, Pirush, Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this name which we call God HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nikra, it's a reflection of the Klolius Hashkachasu Yisbarach, that we talk about God's supervision over the universe, His Hanhog of Hashkacha on the universe. And it divides into two dimensions. There's HaKadosh, and then there's Baruch Hu. And the Gaon identifies those two dimensions of the Hashgach of Hashem as Chasadim uGvuros. The word HaKadosh, which refers to Gvuros, is Asiyas Din Ba'olam. Whenever God does retribution against the evildoers, and He meets out justice in the world, that's called Gvura. That's called HaKadosh. Because Oz Niskadei Shmo Ba'olam, U'misyarim Mimenu, V'yedu Kulam Shu Mufresh Me'akol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level or element of Kedusha is demonstrated and publicized when He meets out punishment against those who deserve punishment, because that Kedusha is a result of Gvura. Gvura means Din, when God meets out punishment. So that's one dimension of God, His Hanhaga or His Hashkacha, that's called Gvura or Asiyas Din Ba'olam. And that's called Kadosh because of His Kachus Shmo Ba'olam. So, you know, when we say Yiskadal V'Yiskadash Shmei Rabbah, then we should have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be meeting out retribution against the evildoers. That's a Kiddush of Shmo, and that's called Yiskadash Shmo. And that's why we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh. Because in this Hashgacha, He meets out punishment to those who are enemies of the Jewish people and deserve to be punished. Then we go on to the second Bechina, which is called Chasadim, and that's called Baruch Hu. What is Baruch Hu? Nikra al Chazdo. He says, Asher Gavar Ba'olam, that the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is powerful, and it's visual, it's tangible in the world. As a result of God's chesed, nisbarech b'fikol. Now we're ready to bless God and glorify God. So number one, zeh hakadosh baruch hu, hakadosh al gvura she'ose, ubaruch hu al atovos asheru ose, which is called chazdei Hashem. V'omar baruch hu. Now here the Gaon wants to ask another question. The phrase Baruch Hu sounds like God is still concealed, if you follow. The hand of God is not obvious in nature. In other words, although there's a massive amount of chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mashkiach on the world and on the tzaddikim, but nevertheless, it's still not obvious to the naked eye. So who...
Is that chutz miderech hateva?
I'm not sure, but what he's saying is it's not obvious, it's not apparent. It's who. Who means the Shem HaNelam. You know, when you talk about Ato, you're talking about Nochach, which means you so to speak, if I could use the phrase, you're looking at God. But who means God, you know, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, he's somewhere, but he's lurking, you know, below the surface. He's concealed. He calls it Chazdo Gonuz V'Nelam. Nelam means it's hidden. Well, now the Gon wants to know, so how do we get from the level of who to the level of Baruch? Meaning we want to sing the praise of God, and yet we're not aware, or it's not apparently obvious, is God's chesed. Because it's Gonuz V'Nelam. Says the Gon, and this is the main chiddush of the Gon, Derak al yedei ha-gvuros. It's only through gvura. In other words, when we perceive that God is meeting out punishments to the enemies and to the evildoers, then nizgale chazdo hanelama. He calls it ktsas. It's not a complete revelation, but it's a partial revelation. So when we see good things happening, we're not sure whether that's hashgacha pratis or those are natural events. The gilui, the way that we're going to take these chasodim from the level of nelam to the upgraded to the level of golui is through a certain vehicle. And what is that vehicle? What hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell me, is going to shed a light on the chasodim so that now I can recognize those chasodim and as such, meaning appreciate them as God's deliberate intervention in the affairs of man to bring about chesed. It's only through gvura. Gvura, meaning God meeting out punishment to those who deserve punishment, is something that becomes much more apparent, and that is going to shed a light on the chasodim and take them from the level of secret or concealed, we called it Nelam, and bring it to the light of Golui. Therefore, we don't say Baruch Hu HaKadosh, but rather we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sequence here is very important, because the only way that we can get to the level of Baruch Hu meaning in Nelam, is only when we first apparently see and recognize HaKadosh, that God has meted out Gevura. And therefore, over and over again throughout Tanakh, we'll find that it says, Viskadalti v'hiskadashti, Viskadalti ba'tovos asher eser, and v'oz viskadashti ba'nekomos asher eser. In other words, according to the Gaon, again, it's hiskadalti, but the hiskadalti through the tovos and the chasodim is dependent upon hiskadashti. It's only when we get to the point of his kadashti, then Iglai Milsalam Afrei, that sheds a light on this kadalti, and then we can recite Baruch Hu. So the kadosh here is a critical element that must be met in his kadashti, because only kadosh and his kadashti is the only way we can ever get to the Baruch Hu, to this kadalti, to appreciate and recognize that the chasodim didn't just happen as a matter of nature, but rather it was all part of a divine plan. Says the Gevuras Yitzchak, Nira Midvarov, it seems from the Gaon that the Be'emes HaBrach of HaShevach Hu Al Chazdei Hashem L'chut, that when we praise God, we're not really praising God for the Nekamos. The Nekamos are necessary, the Gevura, the Skadshus, is necessary in order for us to achieve our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is to recite bracha and shevach for the chasodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the chasodim themselves are ganuz v'nelam, and we can't appreciate them, perceive them. If we don't recognize and appreciate them, then how can we sing the praises of Hashem? But rak al yedei gvuros, when we have the element of gvuros, which Hashem is meeting out punishment, then this gala, now we have the ganuz and the nelam becomes golui, and the chasodim are clearly me'ito. Me'ito means they come from divine hashgacha. V'lachein omrim Tchila Kadosh, the Achakach Baruch Hu. Ah, you'll ask me, Kashi Yecheskel seems to switch around the order. He says his Kadalti and then he says his Kadashti. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first brings about the Tovos to the Tzaddikim, and that's called his Gadalti, but we're not ready for Baruch Hu yet. We cannot praise Hashem until we get to the point of his Kadashti. So in terms of sequence, as we saw in the Gaon back in Mishle, if our ultimate goal is Rina, that's where we have to get to, then first what has to happen is this Gadalti, which is means in the Pasuk of Mishle, you can read it, it says Tov L'Tzadikim. So we get to the level of Tov L'Tzadikim. We're not yet ready for Rina because we're not sure that we can recognize and appreciate the Tov, the Chasodim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. It's still Benelam. And then we get to the end of the Pasuk, which is Ibud Rishoyim. And at that point it says in the Pasuk Rina. Only after the Ibud Rishoyim, when we have the Viskadashti, now we're ready to recite Shira on the Hiskadalti, on the Tovos. Ulefi Zeh Yeshlomar, I'll take your questions in just a minute, I just want to finish the paragraph. The Yeshlomar Dezeu Biur Mashakosav Hagrobe Mishle, the Ein Meranin Mishabka Koshbara Sher Noke Me'atzorim Aleim, the Afta Hilul Vashevach. No, if you want to identify the substance or what generates the Hallel and the Shevach, it's really the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's what we call the Baruch Hu aspect. That's the Tov L'Tzadikim aspect. That's the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midah of Chesed. But nevertheless, we have to suspend and postpone Rina, even though we're going to say the Rina for the Chesed, even though the Rina is going to be Al Chazlicha, Al Tuvcha, and the Tovlet Tzadikim, but nevertheless we're not ready to recite that Shira. Why? Because the Gula is not a Gula Shlema. When is the Gula Gula Shlema? That's only after the Nekama against the Umos HaOlam. At that point we have the Hiskadshus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have HaKadosh, and now that's going to shed a light and reveal what was Nelam, that all the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about and all the protection that he offered to the Tzaddikim, that's all part of a divine plan. It just didn't happen by happenstance or by coincidence. The Oz, now that we know that all the Chesed was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're ready for the final goal, and that's Mahal and Mishabchin. We're not going to be Mahal and Mishabeh for the vengeance that God meets out to the Rishoyim, but on the other hand, even though our Shira and Tishbachus is for the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not yet ready until after we see the Nekamas HaGoyim, because until we have the Gvura and until we have this Kadshus, we don't know that it's this Kadalti, and we cannot identify and recognize that the Chesed is a divine Chesed. Now I'm ready for questions until this point, and hopefully we'll get that back to Adelo Yoda. Oh, I don't know. That's interesting. I'd have to study it. I think our friend Mendy Gopin has a piece on that. You know Mendy's little book with the blue cover on it?
I know that.
So I think he talks about it, Yiskadal and Yiskadel. I'm not up on it right now. You might also find it in Lustiger in his whatchamacallit, his Masar. It might be there.
I have the brachot from the Megillah.
Okay, if you could pass that up. I don't know if I'm ready for it yet, but thank you very much, because we're going to get to this pretty soon.
And it came with Nick Matena, it was at the end.
And it's very interesting, because all this is critical in order to achieve the ultimate Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning sequentially it's first Haravis Rivenu. Right. But we're not yet ready for reciting the bracha, correct? And the answer is the bracha can only come after Adonis Dinenu Vanokem Isnak Masenu Vamashalin Gvul Chaloyim Nashen. Now I'm not yet ready for the three dimensions here of vengeance and retribution, but it seems clear that in order to get to Niskadalti and Aravis Rivenu, I have to wait until the second stage comes, and that's Hiskadashti. And Hiskadashti is going to come later, if you remember the sequence of the Gaon in the Pasuk of Mishle, but it's critical to get to that second stage in order to achieve that level of geula, which would generate and make and facilitate the possibility of Sheva Vodoya. So this bracha itself is made up of two parts, even though again part two has three different parts to it, some categories, but the general formulation of the Nusach HaBracha really can be broken into two parts. The first part is Tov L'Tzadikim, And that's called Aravis, Rivenu, God is protecting us. And then the rest of it is the punishment, you know, that Hashem, the Ibud Rishayim, that he's meeting out. But again, the Shira is only going to be on the Chazdecha. But in order to get to the level of Shira al Chazdecha, we need the Midah of Gvura and the Ibud HaRishoyim. Al Pizeh, he says, let's see if we're machami to what he says. Tzarech bir, shemesayim akel hamoshiach. Okay, so we didn't get to the chasima yet. The final chasima, the bracha, is akel hamoshiach. It's very interesting because the chasima itself is a complex chasima, which is that violates and undermines all the rules of brachas. Brachas usually have one theme and not two, but here it has a double theme. It's bracha to Hashem, Hanifra liam yisrael mikol tzareihem, and then it's akel hamoshiach. So he says the following: Tzarech bir. He says the chasimas habracha is very meticulous, meaning it's very demanding. It's not sufficient that Hashem destroyed the evildoers, right? It's not sufficient to say hanokem mikol tzareihem, whatever it says over there, hanifra mikol tzareihem. He's not going to fulfill his obligation until he adds the last two words, Hakel HaMoshiach. And we now understand why. He's only mentioning the Nekama, or the Piron that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out to the Tzareim, to the Oivim, or Tzareim, only as a stepping stone. That's not really the ultimate goal, or the thrust of the Shevach V'Odoya. But it's absolutely necessary. Al yidei zeh, only after we have hanifra mitzareinu, then we have nizgala, we can take the chasodim, which according to the Gaon are always nelam, and we can shed it, and we can bring it to the light. And therefore, when we say hanifra liyamo yisro mikol tzareihem, that's only a hekatimtz, if you will, that's only a necessary stage in order to reach the ultimate goal of Rina and Shira Hakel HaMoshiach. Sal Yedei Piron V'Nekama B'Tzareihem. Now we recognize and we appreciate that all that happened, everything that was good, and all the Tovel HaTzadikim was a result of God's active divine intervention in the affairs of nature. And it comes, Makir Shakol Me Hashem, is He's the Moshiach. Any Yeshua that we achieved, it's not a result of the passage of events and the what we call the cause and effect of history, but rather it's a result of divine intervention. V'yesh levarech al chazdo. So the ikar part of the bracha is at the end of the bracha, and this is what you were mentioning before about, you know, the Nes of Purim is in particular is a Nes nistar. You know, there's no mention of Hashem. You don't we see? But the answer is that after we see the nekama of the God, of our enemies, then we're ready for declaring God's chesed and shema. Now we're up to a page that should say on it Shin Nun Aleph, if you have that. And here he quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin. This Gemara in Sanhedrin analyzes words in the Tanakh that appear sandwiched between two different names of God. So you have a name of God, and then you have another name of God, and then you have a name of somebody or other right in the middle. So for example, he says the following. Take a look at the pasuk that we started with in Mishle, and it says, Be'ibud Rishayim Rina. So for example, Achav is one of those Rishayim, and if there's Ibud of Achav, then the Gemara says there's Rina. Now, we have a principle that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sameach al Ibudam Shel Rishayim. So the Gemara asks the following question. You're telling me that there's Rina as a result of Ibud Rishayim. Micha the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is God happy with the Mapalos and Shel Rishayim? Don't we have a principle of Rabbi Yonah's son? If I'm not mistaken, it's in Megillah. On Daf Yudam and Beis, That's real bekiyus, right? It's only that I taught that daf a few hours ago. So my dichsiv, what does it say in the pasuk lo karav zel zekal alayla? At Yamsuf, the pasuk says they didn't come one to the other. There are various interpretations of that pasuk, but Rabbi Yonason's interpretation is that same phrase of lo karav zel zeh refers to the Malachi Ashareis elsewhere in Sefer Yechezkel, and elsewhere it says that they were karav zel zeh. He says, "Biosa shah bikshu malachi ashareis lomar shira lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu." The malachim saw the mitzvah going down, down, down in the waters, and they wanted to recite shira. Amalem Hakadosh Baruch Hu, ma'ase yadei tovim b'yam v'atem omrim shira lefanai. This is not a proper moment for reciting shira. And if that be the case, then we want to understand what does it mean in the pasuk that Hashem is sus, that God is kilu happy and rejoices at the destruction of the evildoers. Amrav Yeshu ben Chanina, hu she'eino sus. It doesn't mean the pasuk. It doesn't say sus in it that God is happy. It says mesis. In other words, mesis is a causative conjugation. It's lashon hifil, acherim mesis. He makes others happy. And the Gemara goes on to say that during periods of destruction and calamity and what's called the Kiyum HaTochacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the enemies of the Jewish people happy at their achievements. That's all part of a divine plan. Now, Klal Yisrael recites Shira. So is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make Klal Yisrael happy through the destruction of the evildoers? Tzarech bir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enos sos. If you're going to tell me that God is not happy because Ma'ase Yodim Tov B'Yam, is my time a Klal Yisrael Smechem? Why are you telling me that God makes others happy? So again, in the context of Tochacha, he makes the enemies of the Jewish people happy at the destruction of Jewry. In the context of saving Klal Yisrael miraculously, then he makes the people of Israel happy. So, but there's something paradoxical. Why should the people of Israel be happy at the Mapalos and Shel Rishoyim when HaKadosh Baruch himself enos sos? He says, Malachi Ashari Somrim Shira, no, is Ma'ase Yodim Tov B'Yam. Perhaps we can explain it in the light of what we saw in the Vilna Gaon, that Klal Yisrael are not Smechim. The Mapolos and Shal Yisrael is only the backdrop for Shira. They're not reciting Shira because the Mitzvim are down in the bottom of the sea, although there are Pesukim in the Shira that seem to indicate that, but he's saying no. The thrust of the Shira is for the Hiskadalti, not for the Hiskadashti, not for the Gvuros and the Hapolos Arsham, the Ibur Arsham, but rather for the Gadlus of the Chesed, and the Chesed now became crystal clear. Rakti Mibliav Hiskadashti, without mentioning the fact that God meted out punishment and destroyed our enemies, E'ef Shalom Lahazkir Chazdei HaKadosh Baruch, because we don't know whether these are Chazdei HaKadosh Baruch, they're Benelam, they're Nigras. Rak Al Yidei HaGvuros, as a result of the fact that the Mitzvah are being destroyed, Roim Chesed Hashem, now they clearly see in front of their eyes Chesed Hashem, Vehemahalim, not on the Hapol of Rishoyim, because Ma'ase Yodim Tov B'Yam, but rather on the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch, whatever Hashem did for the people of Israel to redeem them and save them, that's what they're reciting Shira. So again, if you take a look in the Shira, you might have a few psukim to ask over here. Why is this an integral part of the Shira? For example, it says the following: Susver of Bo Roma Vayom. I mean, Rashi on that pasuk talks about different descriptions throughout the Shira of how the Mitzvim drowned. You know, were they on the bottom of the sea? Were they floating on the top of the sea? Different psukim. And Rashi says that this indicates the different kinds of divine retribution that's relative specifically to that type of a Rasha. But there's definitely a mention here of Markvos Parav Chelo Yorav V'Yam Mirchav Shalishim Tu V'Yamsuf Tomos Yichais Yumu Yardumim Tzolos Kvo Oven. I mean, there's a lot here about the Ibud HaRishoyim, the Ma'ase Yodei Tov B'Yam. But what we're suggesting now, in order to answer that question and to reconcile this with Atem Omrim Shira, is to suggest that this segment or this part of the Shira only reflects the
the Hechatimsa, that element that allows us or sheds the light on the Chasod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we can recite Shira on the Chazdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Ashir Lashem Ki Ga'o Ga'a, or on Vayehili Lishua. So all that is a result of the fact that Hashem does battle against our enemies, and that sheds a light on the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he has another Gemara in Masechta Megillah, in Masechta Sanhedrin. This is the Gemara that I thought he was quoting now. G'dola nekama shenitna ben shtei osios, t'chsiv kel nekamas Hashem. So there are two names of God. There's Aleph Lamed, Kel, and then there's Yud Kei Vav Kei. And in the middle is sandwiched the word Nekamos. And the Gemara makes a statement, how great is the vengeance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu avenges our suffering by meeting out retribution. It's written and sandwiched between two names of Hashem. So he refers here to the Ramban's commentary on Parshas Bishalach. And the Ramban quotes a Mechilta. Keli imi nog b'midas rachamim. That the word kel indicates midas harachamim. Minayin she'en kel ela midas harachamim. Shenemar keli keli lomas avtoni. You know, it's she, in this case Esther, is crying out to Hashem and saying, God, you are kel. You are midas harachamim. Lomas avtoni. Why have you forsaken me? Well, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu prays on behalf of Miriam, and he says, "Kel, right, Aleph Lamed, na refanala," meaning, God of mercy, of compassion, please heal her. Or, "Kel Hashem vayor lanu," please lighten up our darkness, because you are Kel. Hare, what do we see clearly from this Gemara? That Kel is Midas HaRachamim. Rashi Al HaTorah also seems to indicate in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim in Parshas Ki Tisa that the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim open up with Kel, and that is Midas Rachamim. And Rashi there quotes the pasuk of Keli Keli Lama Zavtoni. Now, it would seem that Gedola Nekama, how do I prove or how do I define the nature and the goal of Nekama? And that is because it's Nidna Ben Shtei Osios, which is the Mid of Rachman, which is Kel, and Hashem's name. The Afagav de Nekama Havidin Ugvura Birishoy, Mikoma Koma Yedei Zen is Gala Chazdo Hanelama Umias Rachman Shalak Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now again, he doesn't go into detail here about the difference between Kel and Yud Kei Vav Kei, because Yud Kei Vav Kei is also an expression of God's Rachamim. But Nekama, and this is paradoxical, it's almost antithetical, is sandwiched in between two names of God, both of which Rachamim. Indicate Rachamim. Now that's funny, because Nekama is anything but Rachamim. But the answer is that the Nekama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out against the Rishoyim is what makes it possible for us to appreciate the Rachamim of Shamayim. So when we praise God and we glorify Him and laud Him as the God of Rachamim, we can only do so because of the Nekama. Without the Nekama, it might be Simcha, but it's not Rina. We still see the Chesed of Hashem Behelem Ubeganus. And the Gemara says, Gedola Dea, it's another man diomer in the same Gemara. Shenitna ben shtei osios. Shenemar ki kel deos heim. Again, the word dea is sandwiched in between two different names of God. What does that mean? What is dea? The true dea, the ultimate das, is the ability to recognize the hand of God in nature. If a person has no das, then he doesn't appreciate God. How can you appreciate God unless you realize that everything that's happening to you and all the goodness that God bestows upon you is coming from God? Maybe it's coming from the natural order of events, the cause and effect. And the answer is, because you have das. Why do you have das? How do you appreciate das? How do you appreciate God? The answer is because you're able to appreciate Chazdei Hashem. You realize that all this chesed is coming from Kel and Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's das. And now he quotes the Shiltos in Parshas Vayakel. Chayovin Beis Yisrael, Lemechil Ulemishte Bepuraya. All of Klal Yisrael are obligated to eat and drink on Purim. Va'oduye v'shabuche, and to thank Hashem and praise Him. The Netziv wrote a super commentary on the Shiltos, which is called the Hemek She'ela, and he explains that according to the Shiltos, that's Rav Chai Gaon, one of the Gaonim, Ikar Sudas Purim, you and I would say Sudas Purim is just to enjoy ourselves, you know, it's like the Chetzilachem, or as we spoke about yesterday, that when it comes to Purim, even those who would fast would definitely want to and have to eat on Purim. No, he says, no. The whole idea of a Sudas Purim and its whole purpose, based on this Shiltos, is Lahodos Ulshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Oduye Ushvuche. That's the ultimate goal and the destination that we have to achieve. And therefore, the Marshal is of the opinion, which we'll discuss in Mishnah a little bit later in the halachic part of our discussion today, that if you leave out Al Anisim in Birkas Hamazon, then you did not fulfill your mitzvah of Sudas Purim, and you're going to have to recite Birkas Hamazon a second time. Now, Al Anisim is just Shemach Takarish Baruch Hu, it's Hodah Takarish Baruch Hu. And yet, the entire Sudas Purim is in the balance. If you forget Al Anisim, you're in trouble. Now again, for those of you who get drunk, I don't know if there's anyone here who's willing to admit that he gets drunk during Sudas Purim. It's a problem because you shouldn't get drunk until after you bench, because if you get confused about Al Anisim, then you forfeited the whole purpose of the Sudas Purim, which is La'odos La'alel.
Not to speak of Tirat Arvit.
Yeah, I'm saying there are a million reasons why maybe you don't want to get drunk on Purim. But, you know, in our house, we're very machpid. We get drunk on Purim, you know. I never get drunk because I fall asleep before I'm able to get to the point of getting drunk. So I'm a kind of the sheet of the Rama. But come to my house on Purim and you'll see what it means to be drunk. If you've never seen it. I mean, it's mind-boggling. I have to tell you that the Ma'ariv in my house with Baruch Hashem, our children, our grandchildren, is by far more powerful than the Ilah on Yom HaKippur, and everyone's drunk. I mean, you've never seen anything. You have to come and see it. You know, it's an amazing experience. It's the Ma'ariv of the year, and it's the Ma'ariv when everyone's drunk and people stand on tables, and it's wild. In any event, getting back to our discussion here, he says the Ode. He says that Oduye Lishvuche, which means, he quotes the Ri Pollock, who's one of the late Rishon, maybe he's still considered a Rishon, maybe he's the first of the Achronim. He was famous for the Pilpul Derech, if you ever heard, which was very controversial. Anyway, he's quoted in many different tshuvas, especially in the Marshal, and he's quoted as saying that the lo duye ushvuche of the Shiltos means lomar shirim vahodos. You'll see this idea also in the Meiri. The Meiri in Megillah on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, when it says chayev odom laharbos besimcha biyom zeh, he says bachilu shtia ad shelo yichase shum dover. Umikomakom, he's worried about people getting drunk. Ein anu mitzuvim l'shtaker u'lahafchis et atzmeinu mitoch ha-simcha. What is the purpose of simcha? He says, don't identify simcha with hololus and stupidities, with frivolities. He says, ala simcha shal tainug shi'agia mitoch ha-liavas Hashem yisparach v'odo ala nisim sh'osel anu ad kan l'shono. Now, as the Meiri goes on record as saying that the Ikar Sudas Purim is for the purpose of hoda and Shevach HaKadosh Baruch for the Nisim that he did for us. And if that be the case, let's go back to the Bir Agra that we started with in his comment on Shulchan Aruch. What Siman is the Tofresh Sadi Beis? Oh, Tofresh Sadi Hey. And there the Gaon says the following as we started this discussion. Says the Gaon, Chayav Inish Lipsumir Puri Adelo Yoda Be Nikmas Haman Ligdulas Mordechai. What does that mean? Gedola Nekama Shenitna Ben Shtei Osios. Right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says Nekama is between Kael and Yudkei Vavkei. Kael Nekama Sashem. And then the Gaon quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Dea, that Dea is also between two names of God. What was the Pasuk again? I forgot the Pasuk for a second. It says Kael Dea Sashem. Correct, Kael Dea Sashem. So the Gaon quotes this Gemara in Sanhedrin to shed a light on what Adelo Yoda means. Kol's man sheyesh lo das. Why is the Gaon so emphatic about das and the significance of das? Is because the purpose of das And the barometer by which I gauge das, genuine das, is kishiyachal lahakir, when he comes to the point where he could recognize al yidei nikmas haman giduas mardachai. Why is it so important? The answer is because without understanding nikmas haman, he cannot appreciate and reveal giduas mardachai. And if he cannot reveal giduas mardachai, there's no room for shevach and halel. So now he needs a hakara of aror Haman, meaning according to the Gaon, Nikmas Haman, and Baruch Mardachai means according to the Gaon, Geduas Mardachai. Once he gets past Nekomas Haman and he appreciates that, then he's ready for Geduas Mardachai and appreciating that this is a Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if this is a Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he's ready L'Shabeach U'Lahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alzeh. Aval K'shenitla HaDeya, if you take away Das, he doesn't understand why Gvura is so necessary in order to shed a light on Chesed. Wait, here he has an abbreviation. I knew what this meant. Mitzad Atzmo, sorry. He says, Bibaruch Mardachai Mitzad Atzmo, Eino Roa Chesed Hashem. Why? Because the Chesed Hashem, when it's only Tovel Tzadikim, as we said in Mishlei, is Nelam and Gonus. K'mo chen, af kisharo anakom v'rshoim, k'mon shechosel odas, if he doesn't have das, he doesn't appreciate that through this hakom, nakoma to the rishoim, he's going to be able to be makir Hashem, right? Kel nakomos Hashem. Is eno makir al yidei ha-gvur v'rshoim es chazdei Hashem. So achesed nishar Nelam. So therefore, he needs both. He needs both Arur Haman and Baruch Mardachai. Ulaka Chayav Libesume Rak Achi Shoer Beli Das. The Im Yea Beli Das, Lo Yea Efshalo Lishabech Ulahal Achaz De Hashem. And therefore he misses the whole point of the Mishteh, and that is Lahodu Salhalil. But just sorry for a second. Lachain chayav libesume rak ad shi shoer beli das. What does that mean? Ad shi, just one second. Chayav inish libesume zoda ad lo yoda rak ad. Oh, I see. Ad. He means ad until. Right. It says ad de lo yoda. He's reading it like this. Ad. Ad de lo yada. In other words, he's got to get rid of what? What's problematic here? De lo yada, right? De lo yada is our enemy here, because if he's in a state of de lo yada, and he only knows one of the two, you know, maybe he recognizes Gdulas Mardachai, and or alternatively he recognizes Nefilas Haman, but he's still in a state of Adalo Yada. And if he's in a state of Adalo Yada, then he's not able to fulfill the Iker Mitzvah of Mishteh and Seuda of Purim, which is Lahodos Ulahalil. So therefore, Chayv initially Besume Rak Ad Dalo Yada, meaning, what does he mean?
If he's already Lo Yada, yeah, he can't recognize. He has to be Adalo Yada. Before
we shall
either. Oh, is that what he means? Until but not including, right? Ad v'loin b'chal, says he. He says, l'kach chayev l'besume rak ad lo yoda. Ad, but not beyond that, because if he goes beyond that, he's in a state of belidas. So ad, but not beyond, you know, ad means up to a certain point, when he still has the appreciation of both Nikmas Haman and Geduas Mardachai, he has that appreciation because he has Das. And I guess he's saying that in his state of intoxication, he still maintains his Das. So he's still able to appreciate both Or Haman and Baruch Mardachai. So he has the complete appreciation of Chazdei Hashem such that he can recite Hallel and Hodah, but he should not cross that point, because if he crosses that point, he's going to be Belidas. And if he's believed us, then lo ya efshalol shabech l'ha.
Yeah, exactly.
So then the key here, I don't know, he gets short a little bit, a bridge when he gets to the punchline. He should have, I think, fleshed it out a little bit more. He says, "Acheset nishar nelam," if he doesn't have das, because he doesn't appreciate both these two elements. Ulekach chayev lebesume rak ad. The few words missing over here. Rak ad. Sha'adayin yeshlo das v'shoer im das. Well, what do you mean what does he mean ad shishar b'li das? How are you interpreting those words?
Maybe das is an illusion that you understand,
and you can do it until you're left with no knowledge. Ad shishar b'li das.
Ad means to stop.
Right.
Ad means stop at a certain point.
Up to the point that you're at.
Right. But don't go beyond that point. Ad until the point, but not beyond that, because if you go beyond that, he'll be b'li das. Yishar, he'll be left in a state of b'li das. If he's left with a state of b'li das, then you basically forfeited the whole purpose. Okay, Rabosei. So that's as far as the Agadata. And again, whether or not you agree with everything he said, I mean, surely there's plenty of room to analyze this. But I think one thing we owe him a great debt of gratitude is by integrating all these statements of the Gaon. I mean, we're able to appreciate that Shira and Hallel for Chasdei Hashem is our ultimate goal, but we can't achieve that goal until we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meeting out the nekama against the goyim. So when it says Kael nekama Hashem, and the Gemara says Gdola nekama shenitna bein shtei osios, meaning two names of God, what the Gemara wants to say is that you can't appreciate Chasdei Hashem of Kael and Yud Kei Vav Kei as Rachamim unless you have the nekama in the middle. Only when you get to that nekama, and that's pshat in the pasuk in Mishle, when do you get to the point of Rina? It's not enough that you have Tov L'Tzadikim. Tov L'Tzadikim could bring you to a state of Simcha, and the whole city of Shushan is Tzolav V'Samecha, but it's only going to be when we destroy our enemies. At that point, we're ready for Rina, because we need that as a Gilui of the Chesed that's Nelam, and make it into a Chesed that is Begolim. Okay, I'm just going to take a minute of my time, if you don't mind, to try to put this all together, because this is driving me a little bit bananas here. Where does this belong? Just one second. Inyan Vav is Achus V'Yichud HaBorei Shin Nun He. Okay, so that's good. Okay, so this belongs here. I'm sorry, I apologize for this, but if I don't do this here, I'm not going to get this down. Shin Nun Beis, Shin Nun Dalet. Oh, so this is going to hopefully be... Just one second. Wait a minute, didn't I just have Shin Nun Hay in my hand a second ago? Oh, here's Shin Nun Hay. So this is here. Chashiva Satora. And that's over here, Shin Nun Beis, the Shin Nun He. Now, what is this? This is already
Reish.
You know, I'm saying, we have Reish here? No, there's no Reish here, right? Yeah, this only goes up to this. There's no Reish here. This starts with Shin and ends with Shin. So this Reish doesn't belong to this pile. Okay. So let me now shift. You know, he separates the book into two section. So this is called Purim Bagada, very small section, but a lot of profound ideas. And this section is called Purim Bahalacha. Now let's just see if I have it here. Reish Lamed Vav. Okay. Reish Lamed Gimel. Oh, this is Reish Lamed Gimel. Reish Lamed Gimel. Oh. So this is Reish Lamed Gimel to Reish Mem Beis. Does everybody have that? If anyone doesn't have it, I have a copy of it. Anybody need it?
Okay. Reish Mem Beis.
Okay. So I'm trying to sort out all this whole thing. Now I have Reish Lamed Beis. Okay. Now, is there anyone who needs the following? I have here in front of me Resh Chaf Aleph, which we gave out way back, to Resh Chaf Vav. Anybody need that?
Yes, I need that.
Okay, let's take that. And here's another one. Oh, now I have here Resh Tes Vav to Resh Chaf, and Resh Zayin to Resh Yudal. I'm assuming that I have the originals here, because otherwise I'm going to get all confused. I have another copy of Resh Chaf Tes to Resh Lamed Beis, if anybody needs that. Okay, if you want to take that. Okay. Now, let me try to establish where we're holding, and then you'll tell me if you have those pages. Okay? Does anybody remember where we were holding yesterday? If those who were here yesterday. Just 1 second. I'm getting myself oriented here. Resh Lamed Zayin? Okay. So Resh Lamed Zayin, and we're up to Simchas Purim. Okay, so let's all turn, if you have the pages, to Resh Lamed Zayin. Yeah. Okay, Resh Lamed Zayin. And we have these pages, Resh Lamed Zayin to Resh Mem Beis. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Does anybody need Resh? Resh Mem Beis to Resh Mem Gimel. Okay, there are three copies of the same page, so just take one. Okay. Does anybody need Resh Mem Gimel and Resh Mem Dalet? Yeah. Okay. Kol HaKayim Zofi here. I have another copy of Resh Mem Dalet, but just as a single. I have here Resh Mem Dalet. If anybody needs that, here's another Resh Mem Dalet, and then I have here Resh Mem Hey. 1 second, maybe I'll take one for myself. I have another Resh Mem Hey here, together with Resh Mem Vav. If anybody needs that, Resh Mem Hey, Resh Mem Vav. Here's another Resh Mem Hey, Resh Mem Vav. Is there anyone else who needs the Resh Mem Hey, Resh Mem Vav? Pass this back. Okay, so we're more or less. Sorry about the balagan here, but Resh Mem Dalet. We'll see as we go along if we have an extra copy. Okay. Now remember, Rabosai, that the Marshal, and we've mentioned it today, and we've mentioned it in the past, is of the opinion that if you omitted Al Anisim on Purim and Birkas HaMazon, then you're going to have to repeat Birkas HaMazon. And the Magen Avraham disagrees. So if you're on the bottom of page Resh Lamed Zayin, so you'll see that he quotes the Magen Avraham on the left column, approximately 6 or 7 lines before the end of the page. And the Magen Avraham says in Siman Tofresh Tzadi Hei, Eimach Zirin Oso. Okay, now the Magen Avraham is going to give his explanation, but before that, the Marshal is a little bit earlier than the Magen Avraham. Let's see why the Marshal insists that if you omit Al Anisiv in benching, you have to repeat benching. And this is on the fourth line in the paragraph that starts Aleph, you know, Siman Aleph. He says, the Shabbos v'yontif v'purim lo sagi de lo ochal pas. That just like on Shabbos and Yontif you have to be koveh suda la pas, so too on Purim you have to be koveh suda ala pas. How do I know this? Says the Marshal. De Purim hitilu chazal al kol bnei Yisrael asososam yimei mishte v'simcha. And now he goes on to prove that the simcha of Purim is even greater, is even more severe, if you will, than the simcha of Yontif. And how do I know this? He says the following. Hichmir bo, on Purim they were machmir, less or tainis, even in a case of a bad dream. Yosem mishabosus v'yom tom desharben lisanos tainis chalom. So if I had a bad dream, I'm allowed to fast on Shabbos, I'm allowed to fast on Yontif, but I'm not allowed to fast on Purim. V'chein garsina v'perek elu dvarim, ma'a b'reit ravina v'yosiv, This is a sugya in Pesachim. Habiyosiv kula shaita the whole year round betainis bar miatzeres v'yom depura. So we see that although fasting is allowed even on a yontif, again there are different reasons. I mean, let's not equate the two. One case would be for anybody. Anybody could fast on yontif if never he had a tainis chalom. The other case is only for someone who's in the category of mabre d'ravina. For him, fasting was his ability to dedicate himself exclusively to Torah study. But it's quite clear that in two different scenarios, we're more machmer on Purim than we are on Yontif. One is the case of Tainis Chalom, the other is the case of Ravina, Mab Ravina. In both these cases, although they would fast on Yontif, they would not fast on Purim. Im Kain, says the Marshal, Svarahu, If the mitzvah simcha on Purim is so great, it supersedes that of Yontif, then if, I'm not sure exactly why he mentioned Shabbos here, but also Shabbos and Yontif here, where you have to be koveh suda la pas, then how much more so, in order to fulfill the mitzvah simcha of Purim, you have to be koveh suda la pas. And now the Marshal quotes a rush in the third perek. In the parak of Shlosha Sha'achlu, which is, I think, the sixth parak, the seventh parak, and the Rosh says in the seventh parak of Brachas, he says, Sudas Yontif Mechuyev Lechel Pas. He's obligated to eat a pas on Yontif. Mishum Simcha. In other words, the Rosh identifies Simcha as Achilas Pas, as being Koveh Sudal Pas. And that's how we fulfill Chetzia Lachem. Chetzia Lachem means I have to be Koveh Suda Ala Pas. Therefore, says the Marshal, to the same extent that if you omit the Yalav Yovo in benching on Yontif, you have to repeat benching because of the Chiyuv Suda, so of Suda Alapas, right? And Kolosh can have much more so, where there's a greater mitzvah of Simcha, namely on Purim, Besudas Purim, Shenikba Lemishta Ula Simcha, Be'inin Lechel Pas, and whenever you need to eat Pas, if you omit the extra Hazkara, the Tosefes Hodah, of that day in benching, then you have to repeat benching. Now we get to the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says no. If you omitted Alanisim in benching on Purim, you do not repeat benching. Ki lo matzinu shechayav lechol pas bepurim. There is no source, says the Magen Avraham, other than the Marshal, obviously, but there's no other source for a mitzvah, a chiyuv of setting up a Sudas Purim on Pas. Umatzi lemiftar nafshe b'shar matamim. Again, the word matamim is a little bit ambiguous. I would assume he means boss of the yayin. That's what I would assume. And he says, what is the machlokas between the Marshal and the Magen Avraham? Vanira bazeh. And here he quotes the Rosh in Brachos, and we're going on to page Reish Lam and Ches. The Rosh says that Nira l'Rabbeinu Yehuda Chayav Adam Lechol Pas B'Yontif Mishum Simcha U'Mishum Chalkeu Chetzil Achila Right, Chetzil Hashem, but Chetzil Achila and Ikar Achila Hu Lechem is Pas For Hadam Rina Besukah Mikan Vielch Rishus the Boilo Achil Hachi Kama Rishus Mishum Sukah but Chove Mishum Simchas Yont. So when the Gemara in Sukah says explicitly that with the exception of the first night you don't have to be Koveh Suda, that's only as far as the mitzvah of Shivas Yomim Teshuv Besukas, and there's only a chiyuv of Shivas Yomim Teshuv Besukas on the first night, and that's derived from Gzeir Shavu 2-2. In any event, the first night of Sukkot, you have a chiyuv, and you're not yotzei the mitzvah of Sukkah unless you koveh suda. As far as the mitzvah of Simcha is concerned, that's not the subject of the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah. And as far as the balance of Yontif, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha, for sure you have to be koveh pas. Has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Sukkah. So if a person wasn't koveh suda la pas during Yontif, with the exception of the first night, then from the Rosh's perspective, he has forfeited the mitzvah of Simcha, but he has a full he has not forfeited, he has not omitted the mitzvah of Sukkah. Now, from here until pretty much the middle of the next paragraph, or the middle of the next column, I should say, is a chiddush of Rabbi Kiveg. Now, Rabbi Kiveg wants to suggest a radical chiddush that even though the halacha says that if you omitted yalav yavo in benching on yontif, you have to repeat benching, that only applies to men rather than to women. It's a very famous chiddush of Rabbi Kiveg. The poskim say we have to keep it in mind. I'm not sure we accept Rabbi Kiveg in this chiddush, but we certainly have to be very concerned about Rabbi Kiveg if a woman forgets yalav yavo on yontif. Okay. Comes along Rabbi Kiveger and he makes the following distinction. There are two mitzvahs that apply to Yontif, and we shouldn't confuse them and identify them. One is the mitzvah of Simcha, and the other is the mitzvah of Oneg. And he says the following. The mitzvah of Oneg is common to both Shabbos and Yontif.
Where did you get that from?
We'll see as we go along. I'm trying to summarize the Rabbi Kiveger, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty details so that we have sort of like a framework of where Rabbi Kiveger wants to take us. And he wants to suggest that there's a fundamental difference between Oneg on Shabbos and Oneg on Yontif. And then he wants to talk about the difference between Simcha, which only applies to Yontif and doesn't apply to Shabbos. What's the difference between Oneg on Shabbos and Oneg on Yontif? He says the following. With regard to Yontif, the mitzvah of Oneg only applies on what's called Mikrai Kodesh. Mikrai Kodesh is the basis or the root for an equation between Shabbos and Yontif. Both Shabbos and Yontif have the status of Mikrai Kodesh, and therefore the mitzvah of Oneg applies to whenever it says Mikrai Kodesh, and he's going to prove this. That means that on Yontif itself, there's a mitzvah of Oneg. However, Chol HaMoed is not called Mikrai Kodesh. I mean, you have to go into all the details here. There are many, many different premises that Rabbi Kiveger is laying down over here. Therefore, if Chol HaMoed is not called Yontif, I'm sorry, it's not called Mikrai Kodesh, therefore Chol HaMoed does not have the mitzvah of Oneg, because Oneg depends upon Mikrai Kodesh. Simcha, on the other hand, applies exclusively to Yontif. It applies to all 7 days of Yontif. However, Simcha is radically different than Oneg. Oneg, he says, is the basis for what's called the requirement of Kviyas Suda Alapas. And therefore, according to Rabbi Kiveger, during Chol HaMoed, insofar as Chol HaMoed is not called Mikrai Kodesh and it doesn't have the mitzvah of Oneg, there's no mitzvah of or requirement of being Koveh Suda Lapas. What we do have on Chol HaMoed, like Yontif, is what? Simcha. And he says that the Chiyuv Simcha, which applies and encompasses the entire Yontif, does not generate a Chiyuv of being Koveh Suda Lapas. Meaning, when we have, let's say, for example, on Shabbos we have 3 sudas, on Yontif maybe 2 sudas or enough, but whatever it is, that's derived from the pasuk of Oneg. And Oneg sets up a requirement of Kviyas Suda. So whenever I set up a Suda Shabbos or a Suda Yontif, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Oneg. But that only applies because of Mikrai Kodesh. That doesn't apply in Chol HaMoed. What does apply in Chol HaMoed, says Rabbi Kiveger, is the mitzvah of Simcha. And Rabbi Kiveger wants to be medayik this by reading carefully 2 different halachas in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, and if you want to see this inside, it's in the middle of the column on the right. In Perek Vav Milchus Yontif Halacha Tes Zayin, because we're about to compare that to another halacha, he says, Kishem Shem Mitzvah Lechabed Shabbos Ula Onga Kach Kol Yomim Tovim Shenemer L'Kdosh Hashem M'chubad V'chol Yomim Tovim Nemer Bahem Mikrai Kodesh Mikra Kodesh. That's the Rambam in Halacha Tezayin. So let's summarize from Rabbi Kiveger's perspective the Chiddush of the Rambam. And there's a Chiddush in extending a mitzvah, but at the same time there's a Chiddush in the Rambam in restricting the mitzvah, limiting the mitzvah. The Rambam is extending the mitzvah of Oneg to apply to Yontif, and Kishem Shemitzvah Lianga, I'm just emphasizing certain words in the Rambam, on Shabbos, so too, Kach Kol Yomim Tov. So every Yontif requires Onik. And the Rambam derives this from Kedosh Hashem Mechubot. Says the Rambam that when the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, I know he says Kedosh Hashem Mechubot, it's not just referring to Shabbos. Shabbos is not, doesn't have exclusive monopoly ownership on Kedosh Hashem, but Yontif is also called Kedosh Hashem. How do we know that Yontif is called Kedosh Hashem? Because Yontif is called Mikroi Kodesh. So therefore we have the following: A equals B equals C, and therefore A equals C. In other words, if you find Kedosh Hashem, therefore you have a mitzvah of Oneg, and if Yontif is also called Kedosh Hashem, therefore Yontif has the mitzvah of Oneg. That's chiddush number one in the Rambam. But says Rabbi Kivega, there's another chiddush in the Rambam, and that is that the mitzvah of Oneg on Yontif only applies to Mikrei Kodesh. It does not apply to Chol HaMoed. And Rabbi Kivega wants to prove this by comparing and contrasting the Rambam in Halacha Tes Zayin that we just read to the next Halacha in Halacha Yud Zayin, which is dedicated to the mitzvah of Simcha. When the Rambam gets to the mitzvah of Simcha, he includes Chol HaMoed. And he says it explicitly. He says, Shivas Yimea Pesach, Shmones Yimea Chag, Im Shar Yomim Tovim, Kulam Asurim Behespet Vitainis, Vechayav Odom Lios Bahem Sameach Vitovlev, Shenemar, at the end of this Ramam, Visomachta Bechagecha. So the Rambam indicates that whereas with regard to Oneg on Yontif, it's only limited to Mikrei Kodesh and to exclusion of Chol HaMoed, but when it comes to Simcha, the Rambam goes out of his way to include all the days of Yontif, because the mitzvah of Samachta v'chagecha applies even on Chol HaMoed. And here's going to be the Nafka Mina. Two Nafka Minas. Says Rabbi Kiveg, I want to underline this for myself. I'm going to skip the word simcha. Ella mitam kibud the oneg. In other words, what obligates me to be koveh sudala pas? That's only the mitzvah of kibud v'oneg, and that applies, according to the Rambam, only on Yontif. I have no chiyuv on Chol HaMoed to be koveh asud l'pas. Is now became gam b'yontif midin simcha. How do we fulfill the mitzvah of Yontif of Simcha? And this applies all 7 days. Says Rabbi Kivega, the Rambam indicates that you don't have to set up a suda for the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. Sagi bebasar v'yayin. The Rambam only identifies and spells out the requirement of eating meat and drinking wine. He has big day tzivonim for women and other things. He says the chiyuv of Simcha does not include the mitzvah of being koveya suda. Simcha does not mean suda. Simcha means basar v'yayin. And therefore, on Chol HaMoed, despite the fact that the Rambam is explicit that Chol HaMoed is included in the midst of Simcha, nevertheless, since the Rambam excludes Chol HaMoed from Oneg, therefore, Ein Chiyuv Lechol Pas. And he quotes the Shulchan Aruch that says that Ein Achilas Pas Toli B'Simcha. So again, I can fulfill the midst of Simcha in a complete way without eating Pas, without being Koveh Su'udah. Good. Therefore, says Rabbi Kivega, Noshim, women, are included in the mitzvah of Simcha, but they're not included in the mitzvah of Oneg. Ein Noshim chayovas b'mitzvah achilas pas b'yontif. Davi mitzvah seishas man groma. In other words, we never found that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos to be koveh sudo Shabbos, and for that matter on Yontif. They have the common obligation of Simcha, and the Gemara derives that from Psukim, right? V'simach, whatever the pasuk is there. Therefore, says Rabbi Kivega, if a woman would forget Yalav v'yavo in benching on Yontif, why? Because she doesn't have the obligation of Oneg. She only has the obligation of Simcha.
And it's...
And she doesn't have to be koveh suda lapas because she doesn't have oneg. Oneg is a classical case of a mitzvah seishas man grama. The Torah is marbe women as far as simcha is concerned, and kiddush also, that's a different discussion, but not as far as oneg is concerned to be koveh suda. So therefore, if we summarize Rabbi Kibbeg's chiddush, he says the chiyuv lechol pas b'yontif is not because of simchas yontif, but rather because of oneg. Ah, now we can talk about the machlokas between the Marshal and the Magen Avraham. Lefiz Adira, let's see how we analyze it. The Marshal Shehevi HaRosh, let's go back. The Marshal quoted the Rosh. The Rosh says explicitly in his commentary on Shlosh Shachlu in Brachos that by virtue of the mitzvah of Simcha, Chayav Adam Lechol Pas Beyond. So the sheet of the Rosh is clear, he's outspoken on the fact that Simcha generates a chiyuv of Achilas Pas. And the, you know, the Rosh goes as far as to say the Iker Achila, right, we have Chetzel Achila, Iker Achila Hu Lechem. So if you have the principle of the Rosh of Iker Achila Shu Lechem, then certainly according to the Rosh, you're going to have to eat a Pas on Yontif. You have to be koveh pas on Yontif. But why? Under what mitzvah? Not under the mitzvah of owning, but rather under the mitzvah of Simcha. Now, if that be the case, we begin to understand and appreciate the Marshal. The Marshal, based on the Rosh, says that on Purim, which is even a greater mitzvah of Simcha than that of Yontif, for sure, you have to be koveh sudal pas. On the other hand, the Magen Avraham we'll accept the interpretation of the Rambam as Rabbi Kivega interpreted, that the only chiyuv of Achilas Pas on Yotav is not because of Simcha, but only because of Oneg, and Oneg only applies on Mikroi Kodesh. It doesn't apply on days that are not invested with the status of Mikroi Kodesh. And came Purim, Afgav Dechayev B'Simcha B'Mishte, Mikomakom came into Lohavi Mikra Kodesh, right? You cannot possibly subsume Purim under the category or the heading of Mikra Kodesh because, unlike what we discussed the other day, but because Purim is completely devoid of any Mikrai Kodesh element, there's no Issa Malacha, etc., is that therefore Purim would might come under Simcha, but not under Oneg. Now, if you accept Rabbi Kivega's understanding of the Rambam, then to be Koveh Sudal Pas is only because of Oneg. So whenever Oneg applies, you have to be Koveh Sudal Pas. As far as Simcha is concerned, you can be Yotze with Basar and Yayin, and Simcha does not generate a chiyuv of being koveh suda lapas. So now we have to ask ourselves, well, what about Purim? Does it have Simcha? Does it have Oneg? And the answer is it has Simcha, but it doesn't have Oneg. Why doesn't Purim have Oneg? Because of the same reason that Chol HaMoed doesn't have Oneg, meaning it's not called Mikrai Kodesh, and Purim is clearly not Mikrai Kodesh. If that be the case, all you're left with on Purim is Simcha, but Simcha can be fulfilled by Achilas Bas and Shesias Yayin. In Kain b'Purim, afagav dechayev b'mishtu b'simcha mikomakom lo havi mikroi kodesh v'yontif v'yenom chayev b'kovetim v'oneg. And the Gemara says explicitly that Purim is mutter be'asiyas melacha, meaning it doesn't have, it's not invested with the status of mikroi kodesh. And therefore, says, let's go back to the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, Oh, he only quotes part of the Magen Avraham. Anyway, at the end of the Magen Avraham, he writes that... No, I'm sorry. Scratch that. At the end of the Sugya, I'm sorry, I saw the word Lamasof, I thought he's quoting the end of the Magen Avraham. The end of the Sugya is that although Esther and Mordechai sent a message to the people that they should accept the days of Purim as Simcha Mishta V'Yontif, but at the end the Pasuk says, Lasel Sam Yimei Mishta V'Simcha V'Yontif Lo Ksiv, and therefore they never accepted upon themselves the status of Yontif and the status of Issa Malach with regard to Purim, and therefore Purim is completely divested of the status of Kedusha and Issa Malacha, therefore it's not Mikrai Kodesh. If it's not Mikrai Kodesh, then clearly it doesn't have a mitzvah of Oneg according to this approach, which is Rambam, Reb Kivager, and Magen Avraham, and therefore there's no chiv to be Koveh Suda Alapas on Purim according to the Shita. Ah, you're chayv in simcha, and maybe even a simcha that supersedes, according to Rashal, the simcha of Yontif. Sagi bozeh, the boss of Yayin, who big they tzivonim, the low boy pass. So again, the discrepancy between simcha and oneg, you know, it's where does oneg take us beyond simcha, is achilas pass. As long as we're within the framework of simcha, there's no chiyuv of being koveh sudal pass. Once we go beyond that into oneg, if we introduce a chiyuv oneg as an extra additional element, then we have a chiyuv to be koveh sudal pass. So Purim, like Chol HaMoed, fits into simcha, but it doesn't have the element of chiyuv oneg. And therefore, if there's no chiyuv oneg, you can be yotzei in the midst of simcha without being koveh sudal pass by simply eating meat and drinking wine. And therefore, the Magen Avraham comes to the conclusion that in benching, if you forget Yalav Nisim, there's no need, no requirement to repeat benching because there's no chiyuv to be koveh sudal pass. That's Ad Kan HaKofal. Now we're ready for Mincha. Yes, that's HaKofal Beis. So if Rabosa, if you could please help me out here, and I'm going to write myself a note, but I'm liable to misplace it, like I was all confused with my pages here, that tomorrow we want to start with Reish Lamed Ches, the Od Yeh Shlomar. Okay then? I'm going to try to make myself a little...
Secretary.
Yeah. The best gift that I could buy myself, if I only had the time, is one of these binders where you simply put the pages inside and it clips them. Because otherwise these pages are just flying all over the place.
There has to be a big one.
Not so big. I don't have that much. I need two separate binders. You know, one for the halacha and one for the agada.